This is a week of a summer of evangelism, and we had Julius Thompson and the music crew went south, and they went to North Carolina, Charlotte, and Raleigh, and then they went down to Atlanta, Georgia, and they did some concerts and shared out on the street. And Pastor Ronaldo and a team, 35 people or so, went to Arkansas. And they went out on the street every day for hours and just shared and loved people, met many people, had evening meetings, a couple of evening meetings, and sharing the word, the message, the love, the ministry of the Spirit, conversation, listening, connecting. Then a few of us were in Chicago, Elgin, and just for 2 days, and had a beautiful time. And then this week we go to West Virginia. Thursday night we have a service. Friday night we come back on Saturday for our services here on Sunday. And evangelism is such a subject of hunger, desire to go 30 days, to go 30 days in some town and have a meeting every night and be out on the street every day and bring people in. And this is our prayer, that God would give the word. By the way, we have a guest from Salem, New Jersey, right here, right? Pastor Muhib and Allison. And thank you for helping them. Yeah, thank you for helping them as they sow the seed in that small town, Salem, New Jersey. Right now, there's a group in Frederick, Maryland. They had their first service today, I think at 3:30 this afternoon. Pastor Dennis White. At a new church. They've been working at it with Pastor Jason and the team, and now it started today. So they're having food and after their service and celebrating and ministering. God is saving souls. God is speaking to hearts. This is His desire. Then we have, well, today is their first day down in the Indian Reservation way out there. Way out there where, what is it, that way out there where the corn stalks grow, no, it's the Badlands, the Sioux Reservation in South Dakota. And I don't know, 30 or 40 people went out there. Our country's too small for us. We're going into all the world with the gospel. Amen? Okay, so one key here, I'd like you to turn with me to John 7. I want you to see something. Have any of you met a very contemporary, woke kind of person? John 8, woke, what does that mean anyway? Woke, looking for a safe space. Science is real. Hatred has no home here. Love is love, and so on. And all of these things that we see on yard signs, and we're being inundated with all kinds of messages and ideas that need to be tested, need to be discussed and talked about. It's possible that somebody you would talk to who has that mindset doesn't have any capacity to listen to you. It might be if you meet somebody on the street who has a certain mentality and you talk to them about Christ or about God, they have very little capacity. Did that ever happen to Jesus? Did he ever talk to somebody that they just simply had no connection? Did it ever happen to Jesus that he's ministering and he is not understood? that they have no place in their heart or mind for him and what he is saying. Has that ever happened to you? That there was just no capacity in the hearer to hear what you had to say or what is on your heart. And so this is the case in John 8 and verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Imagine, you are my fellow countrymen. You are a seed of Abraham as I am. You are living by the word as Pharisees, as legalists. And I am fulfilling the word, but you seek to kill me. There's no place in your heart for my words. Read it, please. It's verse 37. You seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. You will meet people like this. There will be no capacity, no place for God's word in them. They don't believe in the word of God. Perhaps they don't want to hear your view. They don't want to talk about it, perhaps. Go to the next verse, please. Goes, I speak what I have seen with my Father, verse 38. And you do what you have seen with your Father. Wow. Ooh. Lord, dial it back. Tone it down. Are you kidding me? Did you say that? Did you say that? But I want to go to this principle. Be sure that God's word has a place in you. Be sure that you are able to receive, that the Holy Spirit is engrafting the word. With meekness, we have received the engrafted word. And it grows in you. I've seen it with our Bible college students. I've seen it with men and women, godly people. I've seen the word of God. And this is the characteristic of spiritual revival. Spiritual revival is like a burning that goes on and on because our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. And the fire is not to go out. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but another after me is coming. He baptizes you with fire. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Spirit that satisfies you. And it leads you in understanding. And when you understand things from God and our thoughts are God's thoughts or God's thoughts become our thoughts, then we have a life that's changed. Or the life that is in us, Christ's life, is feeding on, being nurtured in the truth. And the word has a place in us. It has a place in us. We meditate on it. We receive it. We learn it. We study to show ourselves approved. We embrace it. We obey it. We take heed to it. We eat it. We receive it. We nurture ourselves in it, and we walk from faith to faith. This is what we spoke about this morning, about the message of grace that's given to sinners. Now, let's go to the text again. There's another portion here, John 8, verse 39. They answered and said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. He goes on for some verses here. There's a little bantering going on. Christ has really given it to them. He is really saying that even though you are Jews, even though you have the Bible in your background, you are of your father, the devil. I am from my father, and I hear from my father. I want to encourage everyone here that every one of us have a father, and he's called our heavenly father. And he is good to us. Could I have my iPad? I shared this morning, and I want to just make this clear to you. Turn to Proverbs 16, please, in verse 3. It'll come up on the screen. Proverbs 16, 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord, your thoughts will be established. We drew this picture this morning. Here I am. Here's God. And I have my life, my works, the things that I'm doing. I give them to God. So I give them up to God. And what does he do? He gives me thoughts. And those thoughts are established. Many times people do things that are really remarkable because what they are doing, they are giving it to God, and God is giving the thought. God is feeding them. God is giving the energy, the love. He's giving the ideas, the persuasion, the conviction, the ability to do it. I commit my work to him, and then my thoughts are established. Wow, what an amazing thing to have established thoughts, isn't it? Deep thoughts, true thoughts, edifying thoughts, loving thoughts, words of God, meditation from God. But this is where a lot of people, this is how they live. They have their program, their project, and they commit it to themselves. Commit my works to me, and my thoughts are my thoughts, and my life is like that. And then it doesn't work. Why didn't it work? Because it's your thoughts. What do you mean, my thoughts? My sin nature has thoughts. My ego, my selfishness, my thoughts. But when God is in your life and you have a new nature, now the Word of God has a place in you. If the Word of God doesn't have a place in you, then you're like this person here. What does this mean? Psalm 1, blessed is the man that meditates. Blessed is the man that doesn't live in the seat of the scornful, like mocking Christians, mocking greater grace, mocking the Bible, mocking mission, mocking giving, mocking tithing, mocking Bible college, mocking a disciple. That's the seat of the scornful. What's happening with that person is this one. This is their life. Yeah, what's established in their life? What do they have? Where are they going? They are on a road that is out of the way. Their life is purposelessness in the eyes of God. They may build a city, but in the eyes of God, the city is nothing. They might put a man on the moon, but in the eyes of God, it's nothing. It means nothing to God. It's, unless it is from God. And I'm not here to say what is and what isn't. I'm just saying the principle is that Christ said to these people, my word has no place in you. So you cannot hear me. You cannot hear me. That would give us a lot of reason to fear him, to fear God. That my life would be without any purpose, no foundation. My life would not have much meaning. my little meaning in my life, my life would be this way. But you can take the simplest man and have him in his heart commit his work, commit his life unto God, and God will establish his thoughts. He will learn to meditate, reflect, worship, and love God, and God will bless his life. It's promised. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, he enjoys it. It satisfies him. That's this picture here. There's something satisfying about those thoughts. It's for God. We said this morning that a man, we knocked on doors in Chicago, and this man at the doors told us about a science program he saw, and that if a star in our somewhere near us, if it released its energy, if it, what is the word for that? Burned out or whatever. I don't know what the word is, but he said the energy from that star would evaporate our oceans, the oceans on our planet. But he said, but that can't happen because our planet is in the hand of God, and God protects our planet from that happening, right? God does many things on our planet. God made us. Look around. God made us. We're talking like this about God and from his word. But we are so sinful and blind. In Romans 3, it's described from verse 10 to verse 20, or 10 to 18. It's so described, a so amazing description of a sinful, of a person, a human being, every one of us. We have turned out of the way. We have no understanding. We are not seeking. We do not understand God, and we do not seek him. And then it ends with that great statement, there is no fear of God. They do not fear God. That's the sinner. That's us. So, why is that important? Because to evangelize means that I need to understand the actual message, that people are sinners. And there's no way that a sinner can find God by himself. There's no way he's lost. There's nothing in him. There's no way. He must be saved by grace, drawn to God. He has no word is in him. He has no word in him. He has no capacity for it. He does not know God, does not seek God, does not understand God, and does not fear God. You know, I sometimes have given a short message with people that are just on the street or in the shop or some store or on the sidewalk. God loves you, or Jesus loves you. But I also realize how, in some cases, how meaningless that is. It doesn't say much to the person. They are just a sinner that continues in their sin. God, thank you very much. God loves me. Yeah. And, you know, I almost died one day. Usually they go to those. I almost died one day. God saved my life, you know. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. God saved your life. That's pretty incredible. You're alive today. That's amazing. But is your soul saved? Are you saved? Have you been forgiven of your sin? Oh yeah, God gives mercy. God forgive. It's like there are so many misunderstandings about our message. No. It's incredible. I am in danger I'm dying and going to hell forever. I am lost once I pass out of this life. I am lost forever. This life is a life where God is speaking to us, and he speaks to us as sinful people. And his message on the cross is, I love you, I die for you, but this is pretty serious. Guys, I'm hanging as a son of God on the cross because of your sin. Your sin. You are a sinner. Your sin put me here. Your sin is the reason I'm bleeding, I'm suffering, and I'm dying. I came to save you. Wait a minute, what do you mean? Oh, it's radical. It's a new birth. It's Christ coming in. It's the Holy Spirit sent into your life. It's radical. A sinner being saved by a holy God, being forgiven by a living holy God and called a son. Behold, what manner of love, what kind of love that the Father would bestow upon us that we would be called the sons of God. It's like radical, shocking. Angels, I'm sure, are shocked. They're incredible. When Christ was incarnated, born in Bethlehem, the angels were singing. A whole host of angels, they were in shock that God Almighty became a man. What understanding they had. How amazing, incredible, unbelievable that God would humble himself and come as the Son of God to save us. That we are lost. We are sinners. And we are in the hands of an angry God. God of wrath, it says in Romans 1:18. The wrath of God revealed from heaven. Would have you seen the wrath of God? I have. Have you seen it? In the depression, the psychological upside down people that are suffering with suicidal thoughts and people that are crazy and out of order and dreaming and thinking weird, imaginative things about a little girl as a boy and being embraced by science. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You need a safe space? You don't have one. There isn't any except in Christ. He's the hiding place. If you don't have Christ, you don't have God said, I will give you a table in the presence of your enemies. This world is filled with those things that can. Do you realize the world we are in is violent? What could happen in a second if God allowed it? Two atomic bombs were dropped in 1945. Devastated Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We know it. Do you know what they were saying in 1948? Albert Einstein said, I don't fear the atomic bomb as much as I fear the human heart. Why did he say it? Because the bombs are coming. In the 1950s, they believed that they were afraid of atomic bombs, but they didn't come. 1960s, they were afraid of it. 70s, 80s, they're afraid of it. Where are we to? Why haven't more been dropped? Only two. Why? Why hasn't there been? God hasn't allowed it. God has kept this human race alive. God has a plan. It is so ridiculous that a sinful man would live his life without God. The ox knows his master, the ass knows his master's crib, but my people do not know me. They do not come to me. They are not trusting in me. My word has no place in them. They cannot hear me. They take me and crucify me. I am God, the creator of the universe, the one that really cares about people. These woke people, they don't care about people. I mean, in principle, there's no way that human beings really care about. It's all phony, hypocritical hypocrisy, and I am one of them in the sense that I have a sin nature. I am as selfish and empty as anybody else, but let's tell it the way it is. There's nothing in you. No good thing dwells within you. Romans 7:18. You must be born again. You'll never enter the kingdom of God without God giving you the grace to save you and make you justified, propitiated. God is propitiated by the blood of his Son, so he can say to you, enter thou into my kingdom, for I have saved you by the blood of the Lamb. Evangelism, there's not much done, maybe. We pray for this. Do you know, I was reading about in Scotland a revival that happened, and this pastor, he was asked about this revival. He said 600 or 700 people had come to Christ in about 3 months' time, and they were on fire. And they wanted to know the Bible, and they were learning, and they were on fire, and the Spirit was moving. I feel the same things happening at Federal Hill. I feel the same things happening in our Bible school. I feel the same things happening in Frederick, Maryland. I feel the same thinking is happening in various places. I believe that God wants to move in our country and turn people from foolishness and sin and blindness and anger. And these people that are fighting with Jesus Christ, these people are violent. These people are dangerous. They're fighting with Jesus Christ. They are mocking. They are attacking him. They hate him. They hate Christ. Wow. But he keeps at it here for a minute. Go to the last part now. John 8, verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Could you learn, and I'm saying this to myself, but us, could you learn how to talk to people? Could you learn how to introduce God into your conversation? When was the last time you had a normal conversation and you introduced God into the conversation? And maybe you felt intimidated or embarrassed or ashamed about it. When was the last time you could talk to somebody in a cafeteria or somewhere in a coffee shop and it just, you know, you were just, you're in the church, you're being fed, you're learning about God. And here Jesus says, how did he say it? He said, you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Have you heard anything from God? Have you heard, have you quoted a scripture from God? Sometimes a story I might say, I don't know if it's right or not, but I might say, you know, I memorized some Bible verses. Do you want to hear one? And the person say, yeah, tell me one. And then you tell them a Bible verse. And, you know, you might have a talk. Do we ever talk about God in our country? Do we talk about God in a loving way? Do we talk about God like we are interested in God, love God, that we are passionate about God, that God has given me my whole life is by the grace of God? You know, our planet is surviving. We haven't had a nuclear war because God has not allowed it. You're alive today. A guy said, yeah, God saved my life. I was shot and I got the bullet in me still and so on. I said, God has saved your life. He said, he has. As he saved your soul. We learn how to talk about God. And listen, Jesus did a lot of listening. And he listened. It takes work to listen. It takes work to, like, try to understand, to listen to a relative or listen to a friend or listen to a body member. Do you know body life isn't just coming together and talking? Body life is also seeking God and listening and then speaking and asking God to lead us so we'll be satisfied when we leave the church. When we leave the church, it's not only that we are nice people, we are friendly people, we are encouraging people, those things are beautiful, but more than that, even, we are people that have a word in season. We could even, lovingly encourage, admonish, and edify each other in God's plan, as you know. Okay, verse 41, you do the deeds of your father, Jesus said. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. What did they mean by that? I'll tell you what I think. We were not born of fornication. And then it goes like this. You were, because we know your mother was pregnant before she married your father. We know you are an illegitimate child. We know we were not born of fornication. It's a backhand slap, isn't it? We have one father, and they're saying, you don't even know who your father is. Oh, wow. From our point of view, understanding the scripture and who Christ is, that's shockingly blasphemous and blind and arrogant. And so it is in the world we live in. But we are not of that group. We don't speak like that. We don't think like that. We have another group. We are of those that are hearing. And here I got to commend all of you, and I thank you very much that you, the body members that are taking time and attention in our hearts to hear, and so that we can be prepared, that we'll be able to take somebody aside and have a time. Because to be honest, I think people are suffering a lot. I think people need a friend. I think they need to be taken aside, so to speak. Come and be with me. Come and just sit with me and be with me. We don't have to be so busy. We just have to be caring and listening and ministering. Last thing here, it says, they go back and forth a little bit. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? And I understand that word speech means like sounds. You don't understand my sounds. It's like a word. Even animals could make sounds. It's even maybe if somebody was back here talking, I couldn't hear to understand, but I could hear they're making sounds back there. Somebody's back there talking. That's how they heard Jesus. They didn't hear Jesus except he was making sounds. That's all. He was talking, but they weren't listening. You don't understand my sounds because, and it's verse 43, because you're not able to listen to my word. That's all that it is. And to be honest, wait a minute. Hey, hold it. To be honest, that's going to happen to you and I. They're not going to listen to us. They won't hear us. They just hear the and then they are thinking self-righteous, right-wing, Bible-thumping, whatever, narrow-minded, bigoted, all those words that they are thinking because they are trained to think like that. They can't hear you. And who are you? Who are you? Who are you? You need to know. Like, who are you? What it is in your spirit and in your heart? Are you of God? Are you victorious over sin? Are you victorious? Do you have joy? Do you have something in your heart where you actually love people? You actually care about them? Is it the diagram on the left there where you've committed your ways, your life, your ministry, you committed to God, and God gives you the thoughts, and you're established in those thoughts? And even if people are not understanding you or hearing you, they only hear so that they hear, then that's the way it is. Because that happened to Jesus Christ. They didn't get it. And what did they do? They crucified him. But what happened? By his blood we are justified. When he was raised, we were raised with him. When he ascended into heaven, we ascended with him. When he sat at the right hand, we sat with him. We are seated now in heavenly places. We have a ministry only for a short time. I was in a cemetery in Hungary, and I'm going to close with this. I was driving in the countryside, and I noticed an English tablet on the road, and I pulled over, and a Hungarian tablet, I saw that, and then there was some English language there, and I pulled over, I saw a little cemetery, and I looked at it. It was a military cemetery for foreign allied troop airmen who were shot out of the sky during World War II over Hungarian land. And these pilots were from Australia and the UK and maybe New Zealand. And I walked through the cemetery because I like to do that sometimes and think about the people there. And I saw the birth date and the day they died. And then an English mother said to my golden boy, "I will see you in 5 minutes." I'll see you in 5 minutes. Wow. He was 19 years old. I thought of a mother in England getting the news. He's buried in Hungary in this little plot in the countryside. And I think about life, and I think about death. And I think that death is so hard. But I love it that we will not die. We'll go. And there's a world that this world, and it's without sin. And Christ came for that reason. And I walked through this. I was alone that day for some reason. I was on my way to Esther Gome, and I spent a little time there and walked through it and got in my car and drove away. And I'm thinking about our message of Christ. There's no message like it. There's no answer for the human race. The foolishness of this wicked world that is being propagated by all means, shoved down our throats. It's not going down my throat. I have something else going down in my heart. I have something else I'm paying attention to. You must pay attention to it and have an ear to hear it. If you have an ear to hear it, it'll grow in you. It'll comfort you. It'll keep you. It's a Word of God revival. It never dies. We are into maybe pretty soon in one more year, isn't it? It's 50. For me, it'll be 50 years, I think, 1972, Word of God revival. And I have to say, I'm saying it to the glory of God, 50 years, 49 years in October of this year for me, isn't it, 2021? It'll be 49 years. And that's, then what does it mean? It's like Jesus said it. Man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from his mouth. And we say, no, Jesus, it's only for a couple months or a couple years in my life, and then I got to go on and live my life. And the Lord says, no, do the left thing. Commit your work, your hair salon, your business, your work at the factory. Commit your marriage. Commit raising a family. Commit your mission, your ministry. Commit it unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. For our Heavenly Father will help us live our life, and there'll be a place for His Word in our hearts. And when He speaks, you will receive it and hear it. And it won't be, no, it won't be that. It'll be sharp, precise, effective, edifying, valuable. It'll have an effect in South Dakota, in Arkansas. It'll have an effect in Las Vegas. It'll have an effect in Budapest, in Moscow. It'll have an effect in Chumen, in Almaty, in Samarkand, Uzbekistan, in Baku, Azerbaijan. It'll have an effect in Bulgaria and Serbia and Austria and Switzerland and France. It'll have an effect in Ghana and Zambia and Namibia. And everywhere you go, the Word of God is not bound. God is doing His work. We are in that field. This is the field. And we are the laborers. And just, that's the way it is. Would you pray with me for the closing now for this part? Yeah. Yeah. Lord, this is a calling for us to be aware of the world around us, to share a word of love for people, to say, not mechanically, but in the heart, could I pray for you? May I pray for you? To share from our heart how wrong we are and how much we need grace. And God is the God of all grace. How empty we are, and we need to be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, we need a church. We need church life. This is a time. God, please, in our church, that we would be praying for revival in our neighborhoods. Changes in the hearts and lives of people. Salvations throughout our country. Even millions and millions of people coming to Christ in our country. That's what our country needs. We don't need to be corrected. We need to be saved. We can't be socially engineered. It'll never work. It's an evil world. We need to be born again. We need to be saved. We don't need moral reform. We need salvation, spiritual birth. We need communion with the living God that'll guide us and lead us and establish our thoughts. Anyone listening, please come to Jesus as you are. Come to Jesus. And Father, bless our labor, our work, and everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.